Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you, to be connected through this virtual platform that God is just using to impact, assist, and cause us to grow close to Him. And I pray that you have been blessed and are still being blessed by staying connected to ebcnc.com. There has been so many changes in our society, especially as COVID has come upon us and all of these virtual things, you know, that we never thought we would be at. But I thank God that He's using this, that souls are being saved, brought to the knowledge of the truth. We're just not impacting people in North Carolina. We're out of state in different places, all because of your prayers. And I ask you to please continue to pray for Ebenezer and God's vision for this season and this time for this generation. Thank you for on our website. We've got so many Bible studies, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. The Lord is just doing so many things. We've got a lot of other things to help you there. And I encourage you. We're constantly updating it, putting links in there. We've got Bible plans. One thing, I didn't get a picture of it, but we actually can take notes now. So with the sermon or different Bible studies, the person that's in charge of the web has put us a place that you can actually take notes on your device if you prefer that. On your smartphones, we can make them really smart now, and we can type in the Word of God. So please check that out on the virtual platforms, and especially while using our app. We've got our 8:45 in-person service, our 10:45 in-person service, and of course our 10 o'clock online, where the Lord is just doing amazing things. Thank you so much for your generosity, for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver, so let each one purpose in his heart. And I thank you for purposing in your heart and giving as the Lord directs you. Whether you're giving using the Tithely app that's connected with our app, or you're giving to our in-person services, or you're sending it into our secure mailbox, I just want to thank you sincerely from the bottom of my heart, and our leadership thanks you. But remember, giving is just not on a monetary level. Giving goes past that. 1 John 3 talks about that if we see our brother in need and we close up or shut up our heart, how is the love of God in us? And so as we're going through our days, God is going to allow people to come across our paths, and we're going to see them in need, and we're not going to shut up our hearts. We're going to reach out because the love of God abides in us. So texting people and calling people and embracing people and encouraging people, inviting them to just sit and talk or to a lunch, that's all a part of our giving. So I pray that this week you hear the voice of the Lord. We're going to get there. We're going to talk about that, and you be used of Him. We also have added another Bible study, but this one is in person on Thursdays at 6 o'clock. So on Thursdays at 6 o'clock in the EBC sanctuary, we have an in-person Bible study. We're going through the book of 1 John. I thought we would be going through another teaching that we have been going in on Wednesday, but the Lord just arrested my heart the other day, and He says, no, I want you to put another book out there. So we're actually going through 1 John exclusively in our in-person Bible study, TBS, on Thursday at 6 p.m. So if you can make it and come out with us, we would love to have you there. We're just a questioning format and jumping into the Word and sharing from our heart as we just all connect and hear the voice of the Lord. Also, I just want to thank you. There's a lot of visitors that are out there, and people may want to know, how do I become a member? How can I get connected with this family? Maybe you live close to the church and you've been seeing us on the virtual platform. Please, we have that IR code that you can scan, take a picture of, and you can use that smartphone again. It'll take you to that information. But feel free, if you're in our in-person services, you can use that same thing so that you can get that contact information, we can get back with you, and that you can be a part of our family. If you're saved, you're already a part of our family, but if you want to be a part of the local fellowship, I encourage you, get that information, because we want a closer walk with the Lord. Well, I am just thinking about and processing the Word of God that's going to come forth today. I know you're going to be blessed, so let's prepare our hearts to receive a word from the Lord. We'll see you soon.
The scripture reading will come from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8, and it reads, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Amen. Amen.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and the treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and the treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you live to die, rejected
a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. That's God's desire for us, that we truly draw closer to him. As we were in our teaching from last time, I told you the Lord really just dealt with my heart to stay in this section of scripture and to talk about how prayer literally impacts a generation, can mold and shape our kids the direction so that they can hear God's voice. And we're going to talk more about that today. From last time, we were in 1 Samuel 1:26, if you remember. And she said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord." Remember that prophetic prayer of Hannah. Amazing woman used of the Lord. Some points in review: faith with works, worship, rejoice in him, a holy God, humility, recognize the power of the Lord, total victory, and fully committed. Hannah and Elkanah, her husband, are fully committed to this calling that God has allowed to be on their lives of dedicating their child Samuel to the work of the Lord, literally giving him to Eli the high priest of that time, so that God could order his steps, Samuel's steps, to be used in an amazing way that we're going to deal with today. I want you to focus in on 1 Samuel 3:10. 1 Samuel 3:10. And while you're just meditating on that, please go in a word of prayer with me. Father, I just thank you for you being God and God alone. Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. And Father, thank you for your word that purifies us, edifies us, makes us, conforms us to be more like you. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are looking in who may not know you. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them experience your magnificent grace. Now, Lord, would you forgive me my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness? Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Thank you for dwelling with us through Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Father, we love you and we thank you for your mercies. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel 3 and 10. Now the Lord came and stood and called as it was other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." I want to speak from a title today, "Yes, Lord." Yes, Lord. Can you just put in the chat, "Yes, Lord"? And I just want you to affirm that, you know, wherever you're sitting or maybe you're standing, you're just ready, prepared, and just say, "Yes, Lord." As I've been going through this portion of scripture and just meditating on, and even the title that the Lord placed on my heart, I thought about it, "Yes, Lord." That "Yes, Lord" can actually be a question. Like you say, "Yes, Lord," wanting to know what he wants you to do. Or it can be an affirmation, "Yes, Lord," telling the Lord, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you just told me to do." And today we're going to actually deal with both sides of it, the question and the affirmation of what God is telling us to do. Sandra Crouch, she sang this amazing song that has always blessed me when I hear it. She said, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart, from the depths of my soul, yes, Lord, completely yes. My soul says yes. Not my will, but thy will be done. No more I, but it's you, Christ, that lives inside. Lord, I give my everything to you, and I'm yielded completely through and through. Yes, Lord." That is the vein that we're going down today to think about. How can our lives get to the point of really saying "Yes, Lord," and meaning it? Going back, just picking up a little history, time frame is about 1067 BC. Hannah, as said earlier, has dedicated her child Elkanah, her husband, and they've dedicated to the work of the Lord. And this prophet child is called Samuel. Hannah, when she comes back each year, she actually makes him a little robe. As he's growing, she wants him to have the proper clothing to minister in the office that he is in under Eli. God is just doing so many stupendous things at this time. Can you imagine having a child and literally dedicating him that he has to go off? And most theologians believe that he's around 11 years old at this point. He gets to see his parents each year, but literally throughout the year, he is working in this priestly office. And God is getting ready to show up and show out. And let's jump into the first part of this third chapter, 1 Samuel 3:1. "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Here's our first point. Is there a word from the Lord? Yes. Is there a word from the Lord? Saints of God, we need it. And as we examine this scripture, I really want you to think about our society and all the pressures and the things that are going on, not just here in the United States or North Carolina, but in the world. We need a true word from the Lord. Here, as we look closely at this 1 Samuel 3:1, I want to pull out some things. This is now the boy Samuel. He ministered to the Lord before Eli. Samuel, he had been trained in this to go before God in the prescribed way in the temple. If he made a mistake, he could actually be disciplined simply because God had set outlines of what was supposed to be done for his priests and his prophets that were around him. And so this child growing up 11 years old, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do as far as helping and assisting Eli. But look at this next part. It says, and the word of the Lord was rare. Eli had allowed his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to go astray. He had tried to correct them a bit, but they were really terrible priests, doing all kinds of horrific things to the parishioners that were coming forward, trying to make sacrifices. They were eating the sacrifice. They were even caught up in just sexual activity outside of marriage. It was a terrible time in Israel. And so God has taken this opportunity to move out those things that were a hindrance to God's people. And we find out this next part, because of all the sin that was surrounding the temple and Eli's son, it says that there was no widespread revelation. I'm telling you, when we allow sin to come in into our leadership, we find out that the revelation is not there. People, it's hard for them to be drawn to the Lord. And this was the state of Israel. But I'm so glad in these times of grace and mercy that God can raise up those that are willing to hear his voice. Any amens on that? Thomas Anthony Whitfield, he wrote these lyrics for Vicki Winans. Listen to this. He says, we don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will bond with our hearts and give us direction from above. Lord, we lack thy wisdom and thy understanding. Lord, we lack the very love you showed your son. Lord, we've altered in thy ways and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord. Speak, Lord. And then this last refrain really brings it home. We need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Speak. Yes, that's what we need. We need God's word. And Samuel is the one that's being raised up. He is in leadership at this time. Oh, that our leaders hear God's voice. Oh, that we live a life of purity before the Lord, led of the Holy Spirit, that we can have revelation of what God is doing in this season. Look at 1 Samuel 3:2. And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. Here's a point. Light shines out of darkness. Yes, light shines out of darkness. As said, this is a dark time because sin was rampant in the area, rampant in the leadership. But I'm so glad that God, he gives his mercies. He gives his kindness, even in times of darkness. The presence of God had literally grown dim in Israel. The authority that they once had, that God that led them a fire by night and a cloud by day, it had diminished because there was no one to really hear the voice of the Lord. There were very few in Israel that even desired the presence of God. They ought to be some amens, because even in our society, I'm concerned that there are very few that just really want God with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. I was talking to someone the other day and just talking about all the distractions that we have, the social media and our phones and our streaming services, and life seems to be going so fast. And when we slow down and just look at, we find out a majority of it just doesn't have any purpose in it. But I'm so glad there is a group of people that God is raising up, his saints, his chosen ones, that want to hear his voice. Psalms 14:1 actually begins to describe the scene, the time of Israel. And even we can compare to what's going on in this generation. It says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." Psalms 14:2, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek God." That third verse, they have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. That fourth verse, "Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and who do not call on the Lord." Could this be an indictment, even as said before, of our generation, our season? This was Israel. They had gone astray, and no one was really seeking the Lord. Theologian Williams captures the scene that is unfolding right there in the midst of the temple night rain. The lamp of God was going out in the temple. The high priest's eyes were grown dim so that he could not clearly see, and both he and Samuel were asleep. Saints of God, we need to wake up. We need to open up our eyes and say, "Lord, speak." Yes, Lord, we need to hear a word from the Lord. But in Samuel, that first chapter and that third verse, again, I want us to look closely, because there's a timestamp that God shows up here in that third verse. "And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down." Now, this is critical. We actually can see when God shows up. At that time, they would put oil in what was called the menorah, and there it would just be enough to get through the night. And so this burning goes out probably right before dawn, and God shows up. Now, I'm going somewhere here. The point here that we see that Samuel, as that darkness begins to come in, he's close to the ark. He is right there in the presence of God, and God speaks. Many times, God will show up early in the morning, and we've got to be willing to hear God's voice. How often have we woken up in the middle of the night and we were concerned and we just forced ourselves back in sleep? But I'm telling you, there's sometimes that we got to say, "Yes, Lord," because I found out that God loves to show up in the morning. Ask Jesus. You'll find out Jesus would be in prayer all through the night, early before dawn, and in that whole process, hearing the voice of the Lord. And I believe the reason that God shows up early so many times, so that we can get past all the stuff in our day. We can push out all the distractions, as said before, so that we can come to the point of saying, "Yes, Lord." Look at 1 Samuel 3:5 as this continues on. "So he ran to Eli and said," that's Samuel, "here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Here's a point. Mistaken identity. Mistaken identity. Now look at this scripture. Samuel hears the voice of the Lord, but he runs to Eli instead of God. I want to say that again. Samuel hears the voice of the Lord, but he runs to Eli, the high priest of the time, instead of God himself. How many times have we heard God calling our name? We heard God interceding within our lives, but instead of going to him to answer that call, to say, "Yes, Lord," we went to other people. Yeah, we went to friends and we went to family and we went to our TVs and we Googled our issue and we tried to get an answer from everybody else when God says, I'm calling you so that you can come to me. Jesus strikes at this problem in the New Testament. This is a common problem. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. The question is, are you willing to hear his voice and follow him and make it to the right one? He is the one, that's capital. He is the one that's saying, here I am, I'm calling you. But if we don't spend time with him in his presence, it's hard to come to that point of saying, yes, Lord. It goes on to 1 Samuel 3:7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. This is critical. I want you to get this point. Do you know the Lord? Yes, do you know the Lord? Just because you come to church or you're connected virtually does not mean you know the Lord. Just because your dad was a deacon or your dad was a pastor or your mom was a preacher or evangelist does not mean you know the Lord. Just because you know missionaries and you can call them by name does not mean you know the Lord. Just because you have a Bible in your house or a cross around your neck does not mean you know the Lord. There's so many that have been churchified, if I could use that word, but they don't know the Lord. They know how to sing and they know how to clap their hands. They know how to say all the right things. They've memorized the songs, but they don't know the Lord. Samuel, look at this in this scripture, ministered in the temple daily, but he did not know the voice of the Lord. He thought it was Eli's voice. Yes, he had been there going through this day in and day out, probably around 11 years old, and we find out that he should have been more tuned, but yet when he heard the voice of the Lord, he had been there doing what God would have him do, he went to the wrong person. So often in our lives, I'm telling you, God is speaking to us, but yet we are not drawn to him. We go to other places. Do you know him? This is critical. You got to get to know him. If you don't know him, I quote this scripture often in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, it says you will be saved. You got to know him. Do you know him? Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Do you know the Lord? That's the only way you can come to the point of going, yes, Lord, I hear you. Yes, Lord, I'll do what you call me to do. There's stages in the growth to the Lord. There's stages as we're understanding who God is. We start out as babes and we continue to grow. 1 Peter 2:2 talks about this. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that he's gracious? So many have started out on this journey, but have refused to grow. They're still on the bottle. They're still on the pacifier, and they refuse to grow because they're concerned what God will ask them to do. But I'm telling you, if you are saved, God is calling us to grow up that we can say, yes, Lord. But there's some things that can also limit us understanding and hearing God's voice. 1 Corinthians 3:1 talks about this. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. That carnal is fleshly. It means that we're drawn more to the world and the world's desires and what the world puts forth. That's what's in our mind instead of spiritual things. For instance, how often are we focused in on movies or social media or games, and we have pushed aside the reading of God's word, worship and praise and meditation and even memorization of God's word, because other things of this life and this world have bombarded us so much, we've chosen to go forth in the lusts of this world. Paul goes on in the 1 Corinthians 3:2 as he's led of the Holy Spirit. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. I'm talking about, yes, Lord, for you are still carnal or fleshly, for where there are envy and and strife and divisions among you? Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Like Samuel, God wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know his voice and run to him, not run away from him. But I see in the society and even the church, so many have chosen to run away from God. Let's say, yes, Lord. Look at 1 Samuel 3:8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Can you write three in the chat if you're sitting around and say three, the third time? So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Now, I just want to stop briefly here. Three times this has happened. The Lord has called Samuel. Samuel has heard the voice, but he did not know. He did not know who the voice was coming. He thought it was Eli's voice. He runs to Eli, and finally on the third time, the high priest that was supposed to know how God moved and operated, it dawns on him. He perceives God is calling Samuel. God is speaking to Samuel. Three times of this running, he must have been deep in sleep. He just didn't get it. And in our lives, I believe so often God in his grace and mercy is calling our names. He's calling people, but yet we're cloudy and we're caught up in the sleep. We've got to wake up and say, yes, Lord. 1 Samuel 3:9, therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Here's a point. I pray that all of us get this. Invite the Lord in. Yes, invite the Lord in. Man, this is heavy, because I've found out in my walk with the Lord and just years of seeking him that many will choose not to invite him in simply because they're concerned about what he'll tell them to do. What calling will he desire to grow within their lives? But saints of God, if we want a closer walk with him, we got to invite him in. He's knocking on the door of our hearts. We've got to open up that. But sadly, many of us are just satisfied with him staying on the outside of the door. Yeah, we're inside and we're saying, "Lord, just stay there just so I can know that you're there. Every now and then I'll peek out the window and see you knocking in, but I am not going to let you in." But God wants all of us. He wants us to come to the point of saying, "Yes, Lord." Notice 1 Samuel 3:9 again. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" It's my prayer even today as we're connecting on this virtual platform that there will be somebody to say, "Yes, Lord, speak, Lord, your servant hears. Speak, Lord, I sent you speaking to me." I'm telling you, I have been in services in my life and preachers have come forth and spoken a word from the Lord. I could tell that they had a relationship, and I'm telling you, God spoke to me. I remember a time I was in a conference and there I was just expecting the same old, and this man stood up. I'm telling you, he it was mind boggling because he didn't look like he would be much of anything. But when he stood up and he began to explain the word of God, God just chose to use him that day. And I'm telling you, God began to speak directly into my life to let me know I need to come to the point of saying, "Yes, Lord." The Heritage Singers actually wrote some lyrics that really pulls out this thought. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Will our answer be, "Yes, Lord, I hear you. Your servant is here. Lord, speak." If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, they say, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him, and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart, he'll abide. Time after time, he's waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. God wants to come in. He desires us to have a closer walk with him. But so often we allow the enemy to get in the way. We allow the enemy to direct us in the wrong path. But saints, I'm telling you, this is our season that God wants to use us more. Yes, Lord. Look at this final verse as we pull it together. 1 Samuel 3:10. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears. I want to read that again. I want you to get the picture here. It says, now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Here's our final point. Ready to go deeper. Yes, ready to go deeper. Can you just put it in the chat? You say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Just type ready, 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 ready. We're ready to go deeper. And saints, I'm telling you, it's going to be tough because the world is coming at us. I was teaching in a Bible study the other day, and I said this thought, it's easier to go downstream than go upstream. You going downstream, that's where the water, it's flowing that way. But as Christians, we're going upstream. We're swimming against the flow simply because the enemy is coming in like a flood. But I'm so glad with the power of God, we can make it upstream. We're looking upstream to the Lord. And here, I want you to go deeper. Are you ready to go deeper? Samuel is ready to hear God's voice and be connected to the Lord for himself. He said, here's your servant. I hear you, Lord. The Lord wants to use us all in this rooms that we're here today, our virtual rooms, wherever you are. He wants to use you that you may be lifted up, that you can hear his voice, that you can walk in his power and his anointing, that you can be purified, that you can become more like him and be an example to other people, that they can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. I'm talking about, yes, Lord, the enemy comes quickly to steal the word. Yes, even now there may be some stirring on the inside. Jeremiah said it feels like fire all shut up in my mouth. Maybe the Spirit of God is convicting you. It's grabbing you right now. But please know the enemy is not going to give up. Jesus explains this as a parable, talks about in Mark 4:14. Listen to this. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. We see this in the season, even as we look at birds and we see seed that's falling down and we see all the pollination that's taking place. Many times we find out that is pulled away. Mark 4:16, these likewise are the ones who are sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Mark 4:18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches and the desires for other things entering and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I'm talking about, yes, Lord, how many of us find ourselves in this type of ground, this thorny ground, this rocky ground, and we want the word, but the enemy is coming in because we're not pushing through and saying, yes, Lord, God, I hear you. Mark 4:20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Can you just scream out good ground in the chat? Just type good ground. God wants us to be good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I'm talking about, yes, Lord, this is so important within our lives. God said, I want you to hear the word. I want you to accept the word, and I want you to bear fruit. Saints of God, there are many people that hear the word. There are others that will accept the word, but the bearing fruit part has not taken place simply because they're not willing to go all the way. You remember that point? Fully committed. We've got to be fully committed to God's will within our lives. Will there be any Samuels to step up and say, yes, Lord, speak, Lord, your servant hears you. The Spirit speaks strongly in Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Hebrews 5:13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of the full age, that is, those who by reason of use have have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Saints of God, he wants us to rise up and say, yes, Lord. He wants us to go from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. Yes, as we finish today with Samuel, thank God that Samuel finally said, yes, Lord, your servant hears. I'll do what you want me to do. But aren't we glad that Jesus came from heaven to earth and really showed us what it was all about to say, yes, Lord. See, coming and walking among men was a yes, Lord, by Jesus. He healed the sick and he raised the dead. That was a yes, Lord. Remember when he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000? That was a yes, Lord. He was walking on the water. Was a yes, Lord. In the Garden of Gethsemane, it was a yes, Lord. Going down the Via Della Rosa as they spit on him and they talked about him and they did all kinds of things against him, was a yes, Lord. He could have called legions of angels, but I'm so glad he goes to the cross of Calvary, takes nails in his hands and his nails in his feet, and there he carries our griefs and our pains. He carries our sins as a yes, Lord. I'm so glad. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but I'm so glad 3 days later he gets up with a yes, Lord, for us. Yes, yes, Lord. And he is ascended up to the right hand of the Father. And there he is praying for us that we can come to the point of hearing the voice of the Lord and saying, yes, Lord, I hear you. Yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Saints of God, will you grow closer to him? As we've been going through this series, really been on my heart that there are many that have been touched, but you've got to take some steps. See, Pastor, what are those steps? Got to get in his word more. Got to spend more time meditating on the word. That's perusing over it, letting it get on the inside of you. And as it gets on the inside of you, now that purification becomes in you. The scriptures talk about it. It says that we don't know what he shall be, but we know when we see him, we shall be as he is. We shall be like him. That happens by hearing his voice, saying, yes, Lord, getting in his word, worshiping him. Yes, getting in those secret times of just lifting up your hands to God, saying, I love you. And get in those times of praise by ourselves where we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done. Yes, Lord. God desires the remnant to come forth. Those that are willing to step out. Say, God, use me for your service. He has a call for all of our lives in this season. If you don't know him, we quoted the scripture sermon, quoted at the beginning. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Ask him in. That's your first yes. Yes, Lord, I need you. Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Yes, Lord, save me. Yes, Lord, allow your grace to work in me for the saints today. Oh, my prayer is that we all say, yes, Lord. Let us pray together. Father, yes, Lord. Thank you for continuing to call us. Even as Samuel had a mistaken identity of the voice, you still called him again. Thank you for another opportunity to hear you and to run to you. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. I thank you, God, that you're raising up an army in this season and time to carry forth your word, that more people can be touched and saved and delivered, that we can bring peace to crazy situations. We can bring healing, God, as you use us to broken in desperate situations. Lord, thank you. Help us to say yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You made a way. Don't know how, but you did it. You made a way. Standing here, not knowing how we'll get. get through this test. But holding on to faith, you know best. Nothing can catch you by surprise. You've got this figured out, and you're watching us now. And when it looks as if we can win, you wrap us in your arms and step in. Everything we need, you supply. 'Cause your faith is strong enough to pick us up. And you made a way. When our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it were over, you made a way. And I'm standing here only because you made a way. You made a way. On where we've come from, because of you and nothing we've done to deserve the love and mercy you've shown. Your grace was strong enough to pick us up, and you made a way. Our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it were over. You made a way. And I'm standing here only because you made a way.